John, I just want to say, as right as we start at the top of the show, I just want to say,
yeah,
this is our 52nd episode of Smartless.
52, that's a year.
It's been a year.
That's a
it's
one
been a year.
Freaking year.
A whole year.
God.
This is the 52nd episode of Smartless.
Smart.
Oh my God.
So yeah, let's get to it. This is, I'm not sure if you guys are aware, but this is our 52nd episode, which means we have hit 1 year.
1 year.
Since we started the nonsense. Yeah.
52 weeks.
Isn't that amazing?
Isn't that incredible?
Remember when we first started talking about doing this?
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I thought it was really just going to be 3, 4, 5 weeks, maybe something like that. And then we'd COVID would be over and we'd be back to our day jobs. God, this is, thank you everyone for listening.
Yeah, thanks to
and,
the listeners.
Letting Will, Sean, and I continue to visit with one another every week.
Can
keeping
I just
our
say
friendship
that
alive.
Yeah. For me, it really, spending this last year with you guys in this way, even more than normal, has been a really great sort of antidote to a otherwise not amazing year. Mm-hmm. And being able to hang out with you guys has been fucking a real savior to me anyway for my mental health. I really mean that.
Likewise.
Yeah, it's been a nice thing to be able to count on once a week. Yeah.
I feel so lucky to be even closer to you guys and have this experience to echo what Will said together. And the opportunity to laugh together, which to me is life.
Yeah.
And it's not just the three of us. Obviously, it's our whole team. Mm-hmm. And the other part of that team is Bennett Barbacow and Rob Armyarv and Michael Terry. But we always know that Rob's name is always Rob
Armyarv.
Is that how you say it, Sean? Because Jason says it.
I like to say it the phonetic way. I like saying Rob Amjarv.
Well, that's how it's spelled.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
So that's
what,
instead of Armyarv. Because even he doesn't know how you're supposed to say it. Like,
he doesn't even know how to say Rob.
Oh, he doesn't know how to say the Rob
Armyarv
part.
Armyarv. Armyarv. Yeah.
Bennett Barbacow, that's easy to say. And Michael Terry, that's easy to say.
Yeah.
But they make it happen. Those guys are fucking champs. And honestly, it's...
we wouldn't be here without them.
I want to see the socials line up in appreciation for Bennett, Rob, and Michael.
Yeah.
Truly, honestly, sincerely, thank you to anyone who has been spending some time with us and letting us keep the lights on, as I think they say.
Yeah, and putting up with our nonsense and knowing that we're just here having fun, just like you guys, honestly.
I'm so glad you guys don't have to pay for this. It's free. Yeah. It's priced right.
But we can announce, right, Jason?
We can officially say that we are going to do a Smartless tour, a live
tour. You're doing a Smartless tour.
Woo-hoo! We're going on tour.
That's right. Smartless is going on tour. We are going to 6 cities in North America, and we have a ton to discuss. Dates, venues, even a special promo code for our listener.
Yeah. But that's too much to make our guest wait for. So that's going to be at the end. But right now, we got to get to what might be our greatest of all time.
Oh.
Yeah.
We have with us someone that would be best described as a true force. He's taken the gifts he's been given and the influence he holds and pointed them towards a full menu of things that are truly too long to mention in an intro. However, a couple to throw out there would be the creation of a world-class elementary school and a family foundation.
Wow.
He's part owner, Will, of one of the world's most famous soccer teams.
What?
And he has starred in 5 films. He's married to his high school sweetheart. He has 3 kids. He was recruited to play football by Notre Dame, but instead, this fool took a gamble on basketball where he just can't seem to find any success. Guys, please meet Mr. LeBron James.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Did I have you fooled?
That was a good intro right there, Jason.
That's pretty good intro. You've never been introduced like that before, right? People go on about that.
Jason, that was a good one.
It's a good one.
Yeah, that was
my God.
One.
But truly, let me tell you something. LeBron, going through, and I don't do a lot of research, as the guys will attest. Mm-hmm. I will go to a Wikipedia page, though. Your page is more of a book. And I just hit F it real quick. I didn't know where to begin. There's so much stuff. But truly, the stuff about philanthropy and family and all that stuff we're going to get into, because I think everyone else knows the other stuff. But, men, go ahead. Will, you got something to say.
First of all, I was going to say, I just took off. I was wearing a Lakers T-shirt. This is crazy. I just took it off because I worked out. And you don't want to get into my workout routine, LeBron, because it's pretty
intense. Oh, I bet he does. I bet he'd love to hear it.
I mean, well, these shoulders, you know they don't quit. I mean, I've tried to fire them.
Those aren't natural.
But they don't quit. Yeah.
What about the Liverpool element? That was a real shocker to me. That's, you know, I'm not a smart guy. But, Will, did you know that? Will's a huge soccer fan, LeBron.
I read that. I'm a big Liverpool supporter. And I have been for a number of years. And I'm friendly with a bunch. But I had read that you were part owner, which is so crazy because I'm like, another thing that LeBron and I have in common.
Uh-huh. Oh, yeah.
There it is.
You know what
there
I mean?
It
the shoulders and the soccer the shoulder stuff. Yeah.
Dominating.
The shoulders. Yeah, the shoulders in Liverpool. Yeah.
LeBron, I have to say, this is especially exciting for me because I know who you are.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Yeah. We've had a few athletes on the show, and Sean just goes to, he starts playing Candy Crush, and we pick it up after the guest goes away.
But I think he's engaged here. This is absolutely thrilling. I can't believe you're here. This is so exciting. Thank
Very
you.
Very nice.
I have so many things I want to say to ask you that I've just thought about. One of the things is, you're such an incredible, Jason's right, you are a force, and you've been such an incredible, you're so iconic already, which is crazy, because you're still a relatively young man, a lot younger than we are.
We could be his dad.
Could be his dad, but you've done so much, and it's so impressive to watch you do it, and you do it with such, there's a grace about you, because part of the problem I think about being on top, and I wouldn't know, but part of the problem is that you are subjected to a lot of, you know, slings and arrows, you know, from people from all sides. Not the least of which is, I think every year since you got drafted, people are like, who's the greatest of all time? Is it like, there's a poll every 6 hours, ESPN will put it on their page, like, and who is LeBron greater than Michael Jordan? It's like, guys, he's LeBron. He's his own person. That shit must get exhausting. Be honest. It must be exhausting.
No, it can. It can be exhausting, Will. I mean, you said it. But, you know, I've always looked at it like anytime you compare it or you even mention it with the greats that ever played this game, it just become humbling for me because, you know, the same people they put me in a category with or saying compare this to that guy are the same guys that I looked up to for inspiration when I was growing up. And I needed that inspiration, you know, growing up in the inner city here in Akron, Ohio. So, you know, to have, you know, the Michael Jordans and to have the, you know, the Kobe Bryants, to have Ken Griffey Jr.'s and the Deion Sanders, all those unbelievable sports figures, you know, when I needed it, you know, they helped me. So it's like, wow, you guys are comparing me to these greatest players that I've ever seen when I was growing up. It's just like, it's such humbling, man.
Yeah, the stats will certainly put you in that category without even trying. But what you've done off the court, the stuff you don't need to do, but you find yourself drawn to do, and as a result of your success on the court has given you access to do and the capital to do, I find really, really admirable. I'm envious of it. There's a drive, though, that has to fuel that because you're tired, I'll bet. Doing the stuff that is your day job. How do you find...
Jason's tired for you right
I'm
now,
for
by
you.
The way.
But I'm sure you have a great infrastructure of people that can identify some charitable endeavors that are worthy of your time and the attention that you can put on them. I'm sure you rely on them a bit, but a lot of that's got to be your own self-drive and to motivate those people to be diligent in how they assess certain charitable organizations and whatnot. Where does that drive come from, that drive of philanthropy?
No, you just, I mean, you said it, Jason. I think for me, the drive comes from my upbringing. Mm-hmm. And, you know, growing up the way I grew up, you know, I'm a part of a single parent household, just me and my mother, no siblings, you know, not much care. My mom worked on and off, you know, my whole childhood. So, you know, every day was kind of a struggle for us as a family. So I felt that if I ever was even put into a position, this is also part of my inspiration too, growing up, if I was ever put in a position where I could succeed at doing anything and I can make any kind of dollars, anything as far as capital, that I want to give a lot of it back. I want to give, you know, a lot of it back to my community because I understand what those kids are going through on a day-to-day basis because I've walked those same streets. I've tackled those same corners. I know the hardships of what a single parent household kid could feel like and the pressures and the adversity and all that stuff that comes with it. So,
and to see that change.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, to see the change of happen from your efforts, it's got to be unbelievably rewarding.
Yeah, I mean, to hear some of the family, Sean, and like, Will, you know, you guys, I mean, just to see some of the families come and tell, you know, either, you know, the faculty members that's at my school or the teachers that, you know, I've changed their lives or tell my mother, because now my mom is huge into the foundation and she welcomes a lot of the...
Is she a part of it? What?
Yes, she's like one of the head advisor boards of my foundation where I basically have an apartment complex here as well.
Yeah.
Where I welcome a lot of the underprivileged families in and we set them up with room and board, you know, that we're not in a position where they can, you know, afford their own living. So, you know, it's pretty cool. My mom welcomes all these families in.
That's awesome. So she's kind of like an ambassador, yeah?
Exactly. Yeah.
But you say, like, you came up, you know, you talk about your own childhood and to recognize, look, I really struggled and so I want to be able to give back and really do it in a way, in a really practical way. A lot of people talk about it, but you actually do it. And, you know, look at Sean. Sean grew up, you had a tougher, you know, childhood and stuff, and you turned your back on your community. You've never called anybody.
He went the other way. He kept things simple.
He lives in a mansion, and he spends his money on
I send people headshots.
You know, no, but surely.
Free,
but
though.
Yeah. And Jason doesn't know what Jason jumped the line famously in line for the first iPhone. So, like, we all have our own thing. Let me just say this. LeBron, you could have...
Every single incarnation of the...
You know what I mean? No, but my point is this. My point is you could have gotten... You've had everything. You've had so much success. You could have just sailed away on a yacht and never looked back.
But. Right. He's finding time to do that too, right? We get some yacht hours each year, yes?
Yeah. We get some yacht... Bad. Jason, we get some yacht hours.
Yeah, Daddy's got to relax. Hours.
Wait, have you been on a yacht with LeBron and you haven't told us about it?
No, but I know how to get to the Daily Mail, right? I mean, listen... So you're a kid, you're hanging out and you're thinking, boy, if I can ever get this jump shot to really go down in a consistent way, I might be able to get myself to a place where I could either get out of here or stay here and help give back to this community. What was the moment when you thought to yourself, oh, you know what? This is going to work. And I think I've got a very realistic chance of making it. And now I'm starting to think about what I'm going to do if I do make it, starting your plans about philanthropy. And, you know, because a lot of kids fantasize in school. When I'm older, I want to be a teacher, so I don't have to do any of the schoolwork. And I can give. Like, what was that moment like, and what were those first few plans? You remember that? Was there a moment?
Yeah, I feel like, the beginning of my junior year, I was 16 years old. So it was right after my sophomore year in the summer, going into my junior year, I was on the cover of Sports Illustrated.
That'll do it. And crazy.
They dubbed me the chosen one at 16 years old.
No pressure, by the way, no pressure.
Right.
And the jinx of the cover on top of it all.
Right, and the jinx of the cover. So a lot of NBA execs were talking and they were saying that, you know, if I entered the draft, you know, right now I could be the number one pick and, you know, but, you know, doing all those things. So I felt like I seen the success that I was having. And the reason that I knew I wanted to come back and give back to my community is because I knew the success that I was having. Yes, it had to do with my God-given abilities and my talent and me putting in the work, but the support that I had from my coaches and my friends and my mom, they stayed on my ass every day. Like, listen, this is what we're doing. We have an opportunity to make this bigger than even what other people are saying. Let's not fuck it up. It's tough on a 16-year-old because, listen, me and my friends, we want to do, you know, first year driving. We want to go to house parties. We want to go, or hang with the other high school kids and do kid things. But, you know, we can't do it.
Right.
Yeah, well, Jason knows about the kid things, right? Like driving off the Warner Brothers lot when you're 16 in a Porsche. But listen.
I have a question. But with your kids, your own kids, what an incredible story you have to pass down to them about your struggle and then how you turn it around and how you're giving back. Is it something that they get? And if they don't get it, do you grind it in their brains? It's like, you've got to keep looking at me. You've got to keep looking at my story. You have got to learn how to give back. I mean, it's so cool to have a dad that does all that.
There's absolutely nothing I can do, to give them the same moment or aspirations or like drive that I had. It's just too, I mean.
You can't teach ambition.
No, I can't. I grew up in Akron, Ohio in the inner city, you know, and the hood is what we call it, the projects. And my kids are growing up 4 years in Miami on South Beach. And now going on 5 years in Brentwood. So, you know, and when we were here for those 4 year run, when I was in Cleveland, they were younger, you know, we're now in the suburbs. So I went to public schools and challenging public schools until I got to high school because of my basketball ability. But these kids are growing up in private schools. So the one thing that I can do is instill of the morals and what we do in this house.
Yeah.
And this is how you need to represent yourself when you lead a house as a young man. I got two boys, two teenage boys. I got a daughter that's 7 years old. So you give them the blueprint and then you got to let them, you know, I hope that they have some adversity. You know, they need some hardships. Yeah. I hope they find some along this way because you really only know who you are and you're only going to be able to come back from situations because the best teacher in life is experience.
Yeah, for sure.
And I bet you lean on mom a lot too, right? Your wife? I bet your wife is incredibly important to, with all the time you're spending on the road. I mean, the three of us know as well, the amount of time you spend away from home is immense and you really have to lean on your partner, like my wife is a part-time dad too, you know?
Yeah, for sure. They're literally the boss of the household. Like we're gone so much. We all know that it's hard for us to come home and be like, okay, this is the hell we doing. This is how we doing it. Like, dad, you've been gone for 4 or 5 months straight. Like, like dad. Okay. Yeah. Like mom already told us, go sit down, dad, and keep your feet up. All right?
I mean, listen, it sounds like your kids are going to have a little bit of adversity with that sunset traffic coming out of Brentwood, getting over the 405. Forget it.
The crawl to Barrington is just
in the afternoon. No, thank you.
Bottleneck.
Thank you to one of our new sponsors, My Mochi Ice Cream, for supporting the show. I just discovered cookies and cream, My Mochi Ice Cream, and I was going to say I'm a little obsessed, but I'm a lot obsessed. Do you not know what My Mochi Ice Cream is? Picture this. It's a perfect little scoop of rich, creamy, premium ice cream wrapped in the softest, sweetest dough known to mankind. My Mochi Ice Cream is sweet. It's chewy, it's cool, it's creamy, all at the same time. It comes in tons of fabulous flavors like strawberry, mango, cookies and cream, and double chocolate. That cookies and cream, I've always been a cookies and cream fan, but then when I had the My Mochi, oh my gosh, I mean, I was like, my mouthy loved it, first of all. An absolute knockout. Each box of My Mochi ice cream has 6 perfectly portioned mochis that are gluten-free and about 90 calories each. You can find My Mochi at Target or go to mymochi.com to find your nearest grocery store. Discover the cool, creamy, joyfully chill sensation of My Mochi ice cream today. We get support from Canva. When your work, presentations, and docs look good, you look good. And you can design stunning work presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos with Canva. Canva is an easy-to-use online design platform. It helps people design compelling visual content and is great for designing any type of presentation and great for any teammate. So our team at Smartless is using Canva when they're coming up with different design concepts for various things related to Smartless and Smartless Media, because we have a lot of stuff going on. It's a busy crew, okay? And if it wasn't for Canva, they'd all be fired. Supercharge your work with AI-powered Canva presentations, docs, videos, and more. In just a few seconds, you can generate slides and text from a prompt. AI is built into Canva right where you work. So you can stay on task without any app switching. It's AI that's easy to learn and even easier to use. Whether you work in sales, marketing, HR, ops, and more, Canva is perfect for any work task. Sales decks, hiring docs, marketing brainstorms, employee videos, you name it. Anyone at work can design with Canva. Start designing today at canva.com. Designed for work. We get support from Happy Egg. I love starting my morning off with farm fresh eggs full of flavor. At Happy Egg, all of their hens roam on 8 or more acres of land, leaving no mystery to why their eggs are the best. These hens are raised on 8 plus acres. I got to keep it down because if my hens find out, they don't have 8 plus acres. My hens only have like 3/4 of an acre. And they're going to go on strike. Anyway, all of their hens are cared for by small family farmers and live their best hen lives day in and day out. All of this results in eggs with plump orange yolks that are full of flavor. I just, as I mentioned, I like to kick off my morning with farm fresh eggs. The difference is so glaring between an egg from Happy Egg and an egg that just came from clearly some kind of like sad factory. And you just have to taste it for yourself. If you're a fan of eggs, which I am, do yourself this favor and try Happy Egg eggs. You will not be disappointed. You will notice the difference immediately. Get with the Happy Eggs. They're so good. Next time you're at the store, look for the yellow carton. Choose Happy with Happy Egg. Visit happyegg.com/smartless to find a store near you. And if you come by the house, don't mention it to my aunts.
And now back to the show.
You know, you do all this stuff and you've got this school where you provide opportunities. I mean, Jason brought it up. I love the way, by the way, as you were talking about growing up, you kept saying we, you know, that the people who are around you are saying we have an opportunity. We have an opportunity. You know, we got to keep going. We got to keep doing the things the way that you were part of something and that you relied, like, as you talked about, these people that you leaned on. I love that you talked about in that we. I think it's so important to sort of to have that kind of support system. But as you talk to kids who don't have the jump shot that you had, as you, what do you say to those kids who are like, look, man, I hit the lottery. I had a tremendous amount of skill. I had great people around me. I had God-given gifts, and I had the willpower to do it. That was the perfect storm. That's not going to be the experience for 99.9% of the kids.
No question. No question about it. That's the one thing that we have. Like, at my school here, we don't even have a basketball complex at my school. You know, but we have an art room, we have a music lab, we have a technology lab, we're on computers. Like, so, like, we're all every single day asking our kids, what do you want to do? You know, a lot of them say sports, but a lot of them like, listen, I want to be a doctor. You know, so we have doctors that come in and talk to our kids. A lot of them say, okay, I want to be a cop. You know, we got cops, you know, obviously at the front door when they walk in, it's so kind to our kids and they can talk to them and give them guidance. Like, what do you want to be? Like, what do you want to be? What's your aspiration? What are your dreams? You might not even know what your aspirations are right now, but you do have dreams. We all had dreams about what we wanted to be. So, you know, if it's something that they have passion about, we try to bring it to the school and try to give them the resources to, you know, let's see if we could tap into it. And you might fail that first one, you know, let's try it again. Or you might say, let's try something else. You know, that's all about being a kid. You try so many things until you finally figure out, okay, oh, this is what I want to do. And then let's try to give them the resources. That's my whole thing. I want to just give them the resources to be able to tap into whatever they want to do.
I love that. Now I want to ask you stuff about playing in the game because, you know, I played basketball when I was a kid and I
buying a chunk. Yeah,
no, I did. And I was like, when the ball would be rebounded.
Here we go.
When you're saying to LeBron, you're describing playing basketball to LeBron James. Sorry, I interrupted. Keep going.
So when I was a kid, I played.
Tell them about your experience playing basketball, Sean.
I played basketball, and whenever there was a rebound, and everybody would run to the end of the other opposite end of the court, I'd go, Go, no, you guys go. I'm right behind you. Seriously, you
it's
guys
called
go.
Cherry picking.
I'm so close. I'm just gonna take a beat, but I'm right behind you guys.
Take a beat.
Get my breath. But wait, but here's the thing. But I look at you, because I've been to a couple Lakers games live courts. I was lucky enough to have courtside seats.
Oh, and, boy.
And seeing
wow,
you, I have
fun.
To say, seeing,
nice.
seeing you play live and seeing the whole team play live is so much more thrilling than TV, but TV is thrilling too. But to see it live, it's just unbelievably exciting. And I couldn't even possibly begin to understand how you do what you do. But here's the thing.
Here comes the question, guys. It's worth the wait.
Fuck. When you're running down, I mean, it seems like it's
do you
endless.
Get tired?
Yeah. It's just an endless amount of energy.
Who cuts the oranges? Do the parents take turns bringing oranges for halftime?
Sean's going to ask a question.
Here it
eventually.
Comes.
No. You've been doing it for so long. Do you get tired?
Oh, God. LeBron, I got a question. Here's now. What about your?
But wait, I want to know about injuries. My whole point was asking about injuries.
Okay.
So I'm obsessed with medical stories, right? I host another podcast. It's called Hypochondriactor because I'm an actor who's a hypochondriac. Anyway, and I just wanted to know what kind of injuries you've ever had. What was the worst one you've ever had? And did you play through it?
The worst injury I had, I tore my groin.
Mm-mm.
2 years ago.
How does that happen?
Playing on Christmas Day in Golden State.
Sean did the same thing in Mykonos.
Yeah.
But it was so worth it.
I was just dude, was sitting up there and I was hit hard.
Oh, my. I swear, if I was in Mykonos, it tore my groin, it'd been worth it too, I tell you that.
Daily Mail would love it.
Right? Yeah. Oh, I know. I did not keep playing. I felt like my balls was ripping off.
Yep.
So, no, I did not.
God. Tell me about
it. Was over with. Yeah, it was over with.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Something that I think is very, very interesting among many things is Randy Maverick and Rich. Now, fellas, these are three of his best friends from growing up, and you guys figured out a sort of a four-legged table to go through the rest of your life. And everyone kind of talked about, I would imagine, what their lanes would be and how we can be a unit and we can drive this thing. What were those conversations like, and how early did that start?
Well, it started, I mean, it was early on. After my rookie year in the NBA, I realized at 19 years old that the representation that I was under at that time wasn't best suited for me, and it wasn't going to allow me to grow, not only as a basketball player, but also I wanted to, you know, be a businessman as well. I wanted to be in control of my business, and it was something that was unprecedented and shone upon in the NBA, because everyone always expects for you to have an agent, an NBA agent. But when I, you know, parted ways with my NBA agent and agency and started my company, LRMR, with Maverick, Rich, and Randy, people were like, they're uneducated. They don't know anything about the sports world. They don't know anything about business. This is going to be a complete disaster. For me, I didn't give a damn about what they were talking about, because I feel like who are the people to trust more than the people that I know? And we can all learn together, because I don't want to learn at a rate that now these guys are so far below me, then how can I ever bring them into any room. Let's all learn at the same time. Let's learn at the same rate. Let's take bumps and bruises. Let's fail at the same time while we all going along this journey. So when we get to a point where, oh, we've done so much, we've learned so much, we've experienced, failure, but we've done it together. So we know how to, when the next point come up, we know how to attack it. So, you know, that was my whole mindset.
I think it's just incredible that not only were you guys successful at that, you didn't fall on your face. They did negotiate great contracts for you. You have found incredible business opportunities. But I'll bet what you're probably most proud of is that you were able to navigate all of that and still maintain the friendship. That I'm sure it got complicated at times, but that you guys stayed so close and so trusting and probably felt very equal. Everybody respected each other. I mean, I'm sure that takes a ton of work. It's like a marriage, right?
No, absolutely. I mean, every day, every single day. And we're still going. I mean, and we're still, you know, we've been in this for almost 20 years now, but I mean, we're all relatively still young. I mean, I'm the youngest out of the crew. But I'm 36. My guys are in their, you know, early 40s or mid 40s, and you know we are in a good place today. But we want to continue to climb because it's, you know, we want to continue to build and build relationships and build great content for everyone.
Yeah, yeah.
And you get to do it with the people. You get to do it with the guys, like you said, that you trust, but who are your friends, and that's nice. And we go through the same thing here. I mean, we get to do this podcast with two guys that I love and who are my friends. And I'm not the youngest, but I play 38, but you know, I'm sort of,
I don't think so.
Or like a 40 or just like a kind of a rugged 40. Yeah. But the point is that we get to do it, and I get that. And that's, it's part of the experience. I mean, you might as well do the experience the way you want. I love the way you answer that. Like, you're like, people say that you guys didn't know what you're doing. You don't know the sports world and all that stuff. And you're like, I don't give a damn. Like, who gives a shit? There are life is way too short. And that was kind of like my earlier question. Like, it's part of the problem about being on top is people always have opinions and you hear it all the time. And you do, you know, incredible. You have a lot of people who support you and you're so great at what you do, but you always have this really organic kind of natural way about you. And you're very authentic and that comes across. And I think that that's so admirable. It sends such a great message of like, All these critics, the people who want to. I remember the decision, Sean? Do you know what the decision was?
Mm-hmm.
So when LeBron was going to leave Cleveland the first time, he was deciding, and tell me if I got it wrong or whatever, but I think this is right. You were going to leave and you were deciding where you were going to go. And there were people who criticized it, who still to this day have time on their hands enough that they want to go back and relitigate something from 15, 18.
It was international news, that whole thing.
So what? Let him do it how he wants to do it.
Yeah.
Well, it's not your experience. Why are you mad about it?
Yeah.
What the fuck do you got to do with it? You know what I mean?
I know.
I love that.
It's funny, man. You know, so at the end of the day, I mean, you know, you be so successful. You try to be so successful to where when we reap the benefits, I do it with my friends. So, you know, when I see Sean and Mykonos and I'm with my guys, then we can all just we can all tear our groins together and have some rosé. I mean,
rosé and ice.
Sounds like an incredible weekend.
What an image.
So when you're talking about having success and having the courage to try to have success in other areas, one of the things you said was content. And, of course, you got Space Jam coming up, which looks incredible.
That's so exciting. That's cool.
Where does this drive for entertainment, for acting, producing, and all that stuff? Were you always a fan of the entertainment industry, or is that something that just kind of grown?
Yeah, Jason, always, man. When I was a kid, you know, not only was the inspiration coming from like sports figures, but it was also coming from like, you know, TV shows that I was watching. Like, I always felt like I wish I was the Fresh Prince of Bel Air. Yeah. I wish I was the Fresh Prince of Akron, Ohio. You know, I was in the suburbs of Akron, Ohio, in Bath Township, and I could, you know, look up to a mansion, you know, coming from the inner city.
Like, you're the Fresh Prince of Brentwood.
The Fresh Prince of Brentwood. Like, I've always, I love that storyline. Or, like, you know, I wish, you know, at times, like, you know, just, you know, just being in certain movies, like action movies and things of that nature growing up. So, like, like the passion of watching that and seeing that and being a kid, like just trying to find any inspiration, that's where it kind of came from. And I've always kind of respected that. I had no idea of the damn hours that you guys did. The hours, but I always respected.
Let me ask you this. Like, look at what Dwayne Johnson has done. Could you ever see yourself at some point retiring and then starting and having an incredible career as an action star in movies?
I'm not against that. The Rock, man. Yeah. Dwayne Johnson is incredible. I was watching him when he was in the WWE.
Right.
You know, growing up, and he had all the hair at that time, you know. And
but you could crush that, LeBron. LeBron, you'd be fantastic. I've seen you act. You get it. You absolutely get it. And you've got all the charisma and the size to be carrying around two or three weapons.
I remember when you first hosted SNL, my ex-wife at the time, Amy, was on the show. And I remember we actually met briefly. I wouldn't expect you to remember. But we at the time, everybody talking about how natural you were. Kind of to what Jason was saying, like you were really great on that episode. Comfy.
Appreciate it. Thank you. I just wanted to have a hell of a. I like having a great time, man, and just diving into it. And you know, I like comedies. That's like really my thing because I'm a fucking jokester with me and my friends, and mm-hmm, yeah. all we do is like rank on each other and joke on each other. But it's fun, man.
What's
fun.
The thing that's making you laugh right now? Are you watching a show or a movie? What's your brand of humor? Are you more of like a Monty Python silly guy or more cerebral kind of dry humor?
I'm a little bit of everything. So yeah. I'm a Seinfeld funny guy.
Yeah.
I'm
yeah.
also like a Wedding Crashers funny guy.
Right. Yeah.
I'm a road trip kind of guy. Old school. Uh-huh. Like I'm all of that. Like, and I'm also like Scary Movie, like those type
yeah.
of
right.
Yeah. Silly ass, crap. Parody yeah. movie. Yeah. That, yeah. So gotcha. I'm like all over the genre of comedies. Yeah. For I sure. love
that. And where are you taking a lot of these in? On the plane, in between games, or are you a kind of guy that sits at home and nests and just gets all comfy on the couch?
Yeah, I'm a guy that gets comfy on the couch. That's yeah, what I'm a,
you and me I'll, both.
I'll, with a glass, yeah. glass of wine on the couch. Uh-huh. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Now, do you let your kids watch R-rated comedies?
I do. My boys do.
How old were they when you let them start to watch stuff that was really kind of edgy comedy? Because I'm dealing with that right now with my 14-year-old daughter.
Yeah, yeah. I'll let my boys start watching around like 10.
Yeah.
11 years old, yes. My daughter can watch certain, but not. I don't let her watch. She's only 6 going on 7, so I'm going to wait till yeah. she get a little older.
Where are you on cursing? My kids have
just... Well, Jason, what did you do? Wait, Jason, what did you just let your Franny watch something? What was it?
Pulp Fiction. And
oh, yeah. Pulp Fiction.
She was confused in a couple of spots, and I didn't bother explaining.
She loved the heroin overdose scene, right? She loves.
No, she loved the EpiPen. Yeah,
Jason. And this weekend, aren't you guys? Aren't you guys watching Human Centipede?
wait, LeBron, where are you on cursing? My 14-year-old, I'm allowing her to now. I haven't started complaining about her cursing. She's not like a sailor, but she's just casually using the S word or the F word or whatever. And I'm like, well, I guess I was doing that at 14. Or she's doing that with her friends. So why can't she do that with us? Where are you with that? The kids walking around the house?
So my boys are, they have an exception to the rule of cursing when they're playing sports.
So they can curse when they're playing sports?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Because, yes, they can curse when they're playing sports because it's a lot of emotion. I get it, you know.
But then you get teed up, right?
Yeah, you know, they can get teed up. But they don't – my kids don't mess with the refs much. But, like, if they, you know, miss an assignment, they say, fuck. Or right. they, like, or, yeah. or something mm-hmm. happened, damn, or shit. Like, you know, but my oldest son in this past tournament over the 4th mm-hmm. of July weekend, a kid was talking a little smack to him.
Uh-oh.
And he told him to fuck off. And I started yep. laughing. I started laughing. I thought that was hilarious.
Wait, LeBron, I saw you in that tournament, and the reason I saw you is because it was on like one of the, on the internet, and I'm thinking like, who's letting these photos be taken of this high school basketball game? Like, what is going on?
Oh my God! I mean, listen,
are there photographers or?
Yes. There was photographers.
Well, it's families with phones.
No, they really had no. There were families with big lens cameras, like they're on set.
Really?
Wow!
Yes,
oh, wow!
Yes.
Trying to capture this stuff and sell it to the internet.
Yeah, they Come capture on. It. They yeah. So yep.
That's Maybe crazy. You should turn around and tell them to fuck off.
Right? yeah, no, I should have taken a page out of my son's book.
So wait, yeah. so if he spills the cereal in the house and he says, "God damn it, son of a bitch," that's not okay, right? Hey, that's when he's got to go to his room.
Yeah. Hey, what the hell are you talking? Sorry, Dad.
Exactly. And if you were to punish him, what are the punishments? Like with my kids, it's got to you take away the iPad, and that straightens him out. What's the kryptonite there?
We tried taking away his video game system before. Mm-hmm. Okay, he still had his phone.
Right.
And then without his phone, then he had his iPad.
Yeah.
And then he had his desktop. If he didn't have his desk, he had his desktop. What are you going to do? Sending them to the room is actually not a punishment. They want to be in the room. Yeah. I just tell them, come downstairs and sit down here with mom and dad. Just come sit down here with mom and dad. That's the question.
Yeah, tell us about your day.
Right, exactly.
I say, if you guys don't, smarten up, I make them FaceTime with Sean.
Yeah, and then they shape up real quick.
They really shape up quick. And Jason, you had an incident. Didn't one of your daughters spill some electrolytes recently? And you got that was a tough moment for you.
Hey, Smartless listener, we get support from Viator. You know, Scotty and I took a vacation many years ago. We geeked out because we liked the movie Amadeus, and we went to Austria, and it was fantastic. We went to all Mozart's kind of hangout places, and I know, total nerdville, but it was pretty cool. And I absolutely loved it. It will always be one of our favorite memories of vacationing. So maybe one of the most perfect experiences we've ever had traveling. And so next time you're looking to plan the perfect trip like that, an experience, check out Viator. Viator is a tool you can use to plan and book travel experiences around the world. Their app and website make it easy to explore 300,000 plus travel experiences so you can discover what's out there no matter where you are traveling or what you're interested in. Feel better about your travel decisions by checking out real traveler reviews to get the inside scoop from others who have already checked out the experiences. Viator offers 24/7 customer service so you know you'll get support at any hour if things aren't going as planned. Plus, free cancellation to help you plan for the unexpected. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find the perfect travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Thank you to Organic Valleys for supporting the show. I'm just finishing up a little cottage cheese here. See, the thing is, I'm always on the hunt to find the best dairy products, but so many options out there. Which one do you choose? With Organic Valley, you can feel good choosing their dairy products. Their products are ethically sourced from small family farms where cows spend lots of time grazing outside on organic pasture. Organic Valley dairy doesn't come from those big factory farms. Their farmer families are real people who care about people, animals, and nature. It just tastes better. You can taste the organic. For me, look, I'm a coffee guy, okay? Guilty as charged. Every morning, I do the same thing, which is I come downstairs, I make my coffee, and the thing that this so important ingredient is my half and half. And I just happen to choose Organic Valley half and half even before they started supporting the show. I mean, talk about a match made in dairy heaven. And I also happen to enjoy their eggs and their butter and their other products too. So I was going to say, so sue me, but so don't sue me. When you choose Organic Valley, not only will you enjoy a great tasting organic dairy, you'll help to save over 1,600 small organic family farms who are protecting over 400,000 acres of organic farmland and all the plants and animals they call it home. And do not ask me to convert that to hectares. To find Organic Valley Dairy near you, visit ov.coop.
From visionary filmmaker Luca Guadagnino comes Challenger, starring Zendaya, Josh O'Connor, and Mike Feist. Zendaya stars as Tashi Duncan, a former tennis prodigy turned coach who has taken her husband Art and transformed him into a world-famous Grand Slam champion. To jolt him out of his recent losing streak, she makes him play a challenger event close to the lowest level of the pro tournament. Her strategy takes a turn when he finds himself standing across the net from his former best friend and Tashi's former boyfriend, Patrick. Past and present collide and tensions run high. Tashi must ask herself, what will it cost to win? See Challengers only in theaters April 26th. Get tickets now at ChallengersMovie.com.
My dad works in B2B marketing, but I never really knew what that meant. Then one day, my dad came by my school for career day and told everyone in my class he was a big ROAS man. Then he just kept saying things like, the bigger the ROAS, the better, over and over. My friends still laugh at me to this day. I think it means calculating a return on ad spend. One thing's for sure. I'll be known as the ROAS man's kid for the rest of my days. Why couldn't you just be a fireman or a lawyer? Why? You ruined my life, Dad.
Not everyone gets B2B, but LinkedIn has the people who do. And with ads on LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people based on job title, industry, likelihood to buy, and more. Start converting your B2B audience into high-quality leads today. We'll even give you a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/smartlist to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/smartless. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
And now back to the show.
Talking about electrolytes, doing my incredible research, LeBron. What, tell us about Ladder.
What's Ladder?
Yeah, what is it?
So Ladder is a supplement. It's a powder form supplement that you put into water.
Yeah.
Has electrolytes. We also have like pre and post workouts. So what happened was in 2012, I caught cramps during the NBA Finals, and my legs, I could not get the cramp out. So I was able to work with some scientists from Harvard and some other institutions, and we was able to find an all-organic product that helps out with electrolytes, and it gets to the system faster, and it stopped. I haven't had that problem in 9 years after that. So
I want some of that.
Yeah, so we have. I'll make sure I get some to you guys. I'll make sure I get some to you guys.
Jason,
we got it recorded here. I'll make sure
I get some ladder to you guys.
Right. I would love that. LeBron, I want to know, like, you know, everybody associates you with the obvious things that we see, like the talent in basketball, the talent on the screen when you decide to act and stuff. What is the thing that would be so surprised? Like, would I ever find you at the Hollywood Bowl listening to some classical music?
You know what's funny, Sean, that you say that? I love classical music.
Oh, really? You do?
I really do. Like, if you would happen to pull up on the side of me when I'm not in the dark, dark tent car. You could catch me at a light listening to some old Beethoven, Mozart, type music.
That's as opposed to the new ones.
Yeah, as opposed to the new ones.
You know, that's I'm fully addicted to that stuff, and so is Sean. Sean's a classically trained pianist, right?
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh wow.
But that's cool. I love that.
Now, are you ever listening to classical music on your headphones as you're getting ready to play, or are you listening to something that gets the blood flowing a little bit more?
No, I'm listening to something get the blood flowing a little bit more before I play, for sure.
And that changes each game, or is there like a go-to that if you need to really get it going?
Yeah, like who is it? Do you want to share it?
It's not a go. It's like it changes. It's not a go-to. You know, I'm listening to a lot of like hardcore hip hop. You know, it could be like either Wu-Tang, or it could be like some DMX, some early DMX, NWA. You know, I want to get into a real, or even like Eminem, like when he was doing his thing, like at a higher level too. So like, you know, I tap into it to a whole nother. I'm not the father at home with the kids, LeBron, when I tap into that mode. I'm like, get the hell out of my way. I'm ready for war.
You should listen to our podcast right before the game. Just with your headphones on and you're coming in. That's going to give you the fighting spirit.
Tell us a little bit about Space Jam before we let you go. You've been very generous with your time, but I'm very curious about this, because that was a great first film. This one is a pickup where it left off. How is it different, and what really drew you to it?
Nah, it's different. First of all, it's totally different from the first one that came out 25 years ago. Yeah. But yeah, I was very intimidated. Just from when the script came to me and I sat it on my desk, I was very intimidated, just because I understand, you know, the legacy behind the first one. You know, I was one that was like in all of it. I was 12 years old or 11 when it first came out, and loved the Looney Tunes. Obviously, my aspiration for Michael Jordan is out of this world. So very intimidated, but I was able to get myself to a point where I was like, I want to do this. I felt like, the Space Jam legacy is so iconic and so great. I wanted to be a part of the legacy, and obviously the movie is now called A New Legacy. It's kind of how I worked myself out, but I worked with a great director, Malcolm Lee. Don Cheadle is in the film as well.
He's great, I
love him. He's helped me out a lot when we were on set, but I just dove into it. I gave, everything to it.
How'd you like working with all that green screen and all that, I need you to look over here and just trust that later we're gonna paint in a little character. You gotta look at like a little C-stand with an X on it, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
It's like working with Sean.
Just a nightmare, right?
I did, working with Sean. Yeah, or you mean the green screen.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah.
Green screen gives more, I think.
Nah, it was a nightmare the first few weeks.
Yeah.
Of course. It's weird, right? It's super weird, because they're like, no, you have to be looking up.
So, LeBron, was that like a three-picture deal, or we're going to see how the first one goes, or what did you do? Is it just the one?
No, it was just the one, but, I mean, listen, I've been hearing so much about people's reaction to it so far, that's actually seen the movie so far.
It's going
to
be huge.
We've got an opportunity to private screen it, so, you know, if Warner, wants to, tackle it again, I wouldn't mind, trying to see if we could fit the right script in and keep it going. But I think this one is going to surprise a lot of people. This is a family movie. It's a family movie with a lot of laughs, obviously a lot of looniness. I'm dealing with the damn tunes. They craziness.
That's great.
But it's a family
movie. Is your daughter excited about it, or are your sons a little too old for it, or what?
My daughter is super excited about it. She doesn't know, I mean, she's too young to know about the original tunes, but now because of her dad, she's getting back into it now.
Was she on the set and was she like, wow, look
at all this? Like, yeah, wow. My whole family stopped by set, you know, a few times and they just like, wow. And my boys are 16 and 14. They only care about how cool that the person that's playing them in the movie looks. Like, dad, does he look like me? Is he wearing my hairstyle? Is he dressing the right way? Like, I don't want somebody playing me and not
So you cast some actors to play your sons?
Yes, we cast the actors to kind of look like my family. We changed the names, but they are, yes, I got an older son, a younger son, and a daughter and a wife in the movie. So, yes, it's kind of the same.
Your kids didn't have approval over that casting?
No, I didn't let them because it would have took too long. I said, "Dad, got to get on with work." All right.
And after long hours, did you mix them up?
Oh, the kids! I almost brought my fictional family home one time. Uh-huh. Well, long as I don't bring the fictional wife home, I was good. So
Wait, so LeBron, let me ask you: after all this stuff and everything you're doing, get back to basketball. You've had a lot of success with the Lakers already. I don't want to put you on the spot, but I mean, you could conceivably just keep going. You're so good at what you do. You're still at the top of the game. How long do you see yourself playing for the Lakers? And how cool is it playing for the Lakers? A great storied franchise.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, listen, I truly hope that I can finish my career with the Lakers. And how many years that is, if it's 4, 5, 6, whatever, 7.
There we go.
You know, I hope I can continue to play the game. You know, I love being in L.A. My family loves being in L.A. Being with a historical franchise like the Lakers is something like, it's like me, you know, being in Space Jam now. I never thought it'd be possible. You think about Kareem and Magic and Wilt and Jerry West and Elgin Baylor, Kobe, Shaq, all the whole list goes on.
And
so,
Louis Cage. You know Louis Cage?
Louis Cage. Yeah, the great Louis Cage.
Louis Cage, the greatest Lakers fan of all time. He's the greatest.
Well, LeBron, can't thank you enough for spending some time with us.
Oh, man, appreciate you guys,
man.
That
was really exciting.
What a thrill.
We're all huge, huge fans of yours and feel very, very flattered that you chose to spend some time with us. So thank you.
I appreciate it. Jason, Will, Sean, I appreciate it, man. Hopefully see you guys in person soon, man.
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Yeah.
All right, pal.
Can't wait, man. Such a fan.
Yes, I appreciate it. Love, guys. Thank you.
Bye.
Bye. I could have talked to him all day, but I wanted to respect his time. He had a hard out, and I think we were like 1 minute over it. But man, I could talk to him forever.
Yeah,
what a
cool
admirable
guy.
Career he's had so far.
I have to be honest; like, I was floored.
Me too.
Pretty stunning.
That's LeBron James, like looking.
That's LeBron James, a living legend.
That was so crazy. He was one of the
earliest people I sent to Michael, our producer, to see if we could get. And I honestly had forgotten that I'd put him down as one of the people I'd love to grab on my list. And then he sent me a text a couple of days ago saying, "So LeBron's people reached out; they can do it on this day, but only this time." So I was like, "Oh my God, that's right. LeBron James, he's going to do it." Like, I've been in like a panic for like 36 hours. Like, we're going to be talking to LeBron James. And then doing the research, looking at his, I was just like, screw this. There's too much.
Yeah, it
makes your neck, I mean, after like only, it was only a couple of weeks ago that we had Thoreau. And then now we have LeBron James.
And now
James.
LeBron, you know I didn't mean? Think we could like, get just, any higher.
I know, because we were so scraping with Justin and his stories about it growing up, and I don't want to get
all
back
the MVPs Justin has gotten.
You know what I mean? But Thoreau's BS.
I mean, that way, Justin's Wikipedia page, that's
he wrote it himself.
The shoulders is you know there's a comparable element there on the shoulders, but
on the
not
shoulders,
much
that's
else.
True. He does. Yeah. He does.
I don't know why, but whenever we meet like just huge, gigantic celebrities like LeBron James, I'm so surprised that like they're just normal and down to earth people. Like, he's so down to earth.
Even though he's literally huge and gigantic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And off the earth. He spends a lot of time off the earth in the air.
Yeah. He's got great, great leaps, incredible vertical. Yeah.
Right.
But, you know, we are very generous with our, oh my gosh, this person was so great and we love them and they're so down to earth. But genuinely, this guy, I mean, he could, he doesn't need to talk to us. He doesn't even need to talk to
anybody. And Jason, you're right. We do that a lot. We do that a lot. In a lot of the episodes, we're like, "Oh my God, this person was so great," and we do feel that way in the moment. We're not lying. We really like the people, but
this guest could literally qualify as the greatest of all time. And I could go on forever, but let's not. Yeah. Let's give the listeners what we promised, which was a little bit more detail on our tour.
Yes. Yeah, let's talk about the tour. Let's get back to the tour. Let's get back to the tour.
Woo-hoo!
So we're going to six cities. So we start in Toronto, Massey Hall, Wednesday, February 2nd,
and then.
Sean.
February 4th, we go to Boston, Massachusetts at, I'm not sure how to pronounce it, Bach or Botch, Center Wang Theater.
The Wang Theater, yep.
And then February 5th, Brooklyn, New York at King's Theater.
Yep.
February 8th, Chicago, Illinois at the Chicago Theater.
Yes, Sean. And then where are we going February 9th? Jason, can you guess?
We're driving.
Yeah, we are driving.
We're gonna fly between those cities, and then from Chicago, we're gonna just up the coast there a little bit, the lake coast.
It's not really on the coast. No, it's more central.
It's nowhere near the coast. But go ahead.
Well, the coast of the lake, right?
Sure.
It's not on the. No, you're thinking Milwaukee, but no. But where are we going to?
But where are we gonna end up going?
Madison, Wisconsin.
Madison, Wisconsin, at the Orpheum Theater to see Tracy, my sister.
On Wednesday, February 9th.
Tracy, you better start laying out your outfit right now because you're coming up on stage.
And then we end on February 12th, which is Saturday, in Los Angeles, California, at the Orpheum Theater.
Yeah. Right.
And just like the show, we can't announce who the guests are. Those will be a surprise on the night.
But here's what's really, really cool for you guys who have been so awesome and kind and loving to be listening to us all the time. We wanted to give you guys something in exchange, which is a head start on tickets. So if you go to smartlist.com and put in the password, which is Tracy.
Yep. Spelled with an E.
Spelled with an E, T-R-A-C-E-Y. You get a head start on tickets before the rest of the general audience.
So when you want to go and you want to buy tickets to this tour, you use the code Tracy, T-R-A-C-E-Y, right?
Correct.
And it's starting today, Monday, 9 a.m. Eastern through Thursday at 10 p.m. local time. And tickets go on sale to the public this Friday at 10 a.m. local time for all those venues. And Thursday, July 15th at 10 a.m. local is the local venue presale. So head to our website to buy tickets, and you can get more information at smartlist.com. And again, Wednesday, February 2nd, Toronto, Massey Hall. Friday, February 4th, Boston, Massachusetts. Saturday, February 5th, Brooklyn, New York. Chicago is February 8th, Tuesday.
February 8th.
Wednesday, Jason, February 9th. You know where we're going, just up the coast there, right? Just the coast of...
Just up the eastern coast there to Wisconsin.
Yeah, to Wisconsin. Yeah. I guess they didn't have a geography class in the trailer school at Universal. And then Saturday, February 12th, back home in Los Angeles with our family and our friends and everybody at the Orpheum Theater. So, guys, we're so excited to bring the show to you, and we're so honored that this is even a possibility, and we can't wait to have fun with y'all. Live.
Hope to see you there.
Anyway, see you at the show. I'll see you guys at the show. We're going to go together, right? We'll go together.
Yeah, let's go together.
We'll travel together. We'll stay in the same hotel room together, maybe?
We'll stay in the same hotel room.
Are
you driving over
hands? We're going to shake hands. We're going to bump fists. We're going to high five people.
I know Sean's going to take a bow, probably. Maybe a call or something.
I'm going to wear tails. Is that cool?
Believe me, Sean's going to have a spotlight on him, so he's going to do a fucking song. You watch.
A top hat and cane. I'm set.
So anyway, so that's all the info that you need to have for our big tour. I mean, that's it. Those are the dates and the cities and the.
It's very exciting.
How great is it that the promo code is Tracy again?
T-R-A-C-E-Y.
T-R-A-C-E-Y. And that's where you can go and you can buy
your ticket.
Buy them. Smart.
If you like SmartLess, you can listen early and ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app or on Apple Podcasts. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music. Before you go, tell us about yourself by filling out a short survey at wondery.com/survey.
Get to the chopper. I'll be back. Listen, I gotta tell ya, of all guests we've had on SmartLess, I don't know if we've had a bigger icon on our podcast than Arnold Schwarzenegger. I mean, what a treat it was talking to that guy. Arnold is an inspiration, from having reached the heights of bodybuilding to then conquer Hollywood and become a global movie star. Oh, and for his third act, he oversaw the world's fifth largest economy as governor of California. The man has truly done it all. In our interview, he shares the secret of how he's able to accomplish what he puts his mind to, what motivates him to keep working out all these years, and the extreme generosity that he received after arriving in America. You gotta listen to this episode to hear what it's like to be Chris Pratt's father-in-law and how Arnold's first comedy, Twins, has made him more money than any other film he's done. Hint, he's also a great businessman. Give it a listen if you haven't. Bye. Seps.